The text for our consideration this morning is from Numbers chapter 11. We read, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you.' So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.' Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, 'Moses, my lord, stop them.' But Moses replied, 'Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them.' This is the word of our God." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the rope was pulled so tightly that it might as well just snap in two. Hovering above the mud puddle, a rag tied in the middle went slowly from one side and back toward the other. Screams and shouts and clouds of dust filled the air. Amidst the chaos, both sides became convinced that they had to win, that they had to come out victorious. Tug of war can bring out the best in us, but it can also bring out the worst in us. Sure, it might bring out that full-fledged effort of a 10-year-old boy pulling with all of his might, but it can also cause us to show our ugly side, as perhaps we begin to bicker, argue, or throw insults. While one side might walk away from a game of tug-of-war clean and dry, with their pride still intact, does either side truly win? Both teams walk away with calloused hands, achy muscles, and enough frustration to last a whole week. Moses had been in his own type of tug of war. As the leader of God's people, there had been easy times, but there had also been those times where he felt like he was almost pulling. There had been those times when they had seen the miracles of God crossing the Red Sea. When they saw those miracles, it made the leadership that Moses had to do a little bit easier. But the people also complained and grumbled. The work Moses did, he didn't do alone, however. He had the help of his servant Joshua, a man who had also seen all of these miracles throughout his lifetime. He too had crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground, walked up the side of Sinai along with Moses, heard the voice of God. He had seen manna and quail come down from heaven as food for the people. Joshua had enough hands-on ministry experience to last the whole lifetime. He was ready and willing to help Moses with the work that needed to be done. But Moses was no solo artist, and neither was Joshua. Even with Joshua's help, Moses wasn't able to do all the work required of him to serve the more than 1 million Israelite people. Moses needed help. So God provided Moses, and he provides us with spiritual teammates. on every team, players have different roles. If you watch football a little later today, you won't see 11 quarterbacks on the field all trying to throw the ball at once. Or if you watch baseball, you won't see 9 pitchers on the mound all trying to throw a pitch. Every player has a different job or responsibility to do. The same is true with God's kingdom work. He has given us all different jobs or responsibilities to fulfill. On a Sunday morning, you won't see 400 people hurrying up front, all trying to preach the sermon together at once. There aren't 50 people heading to the organ or piano to try and play the piano at the same time. There aren't 100 people coming up front after the service to try and clean up from communion together. God's people have different jobs and responsibilities. But when we begin to compare the responsibilities that we have to the jobs or responsibilities that other people hold, we can be quick to become jealous. Maybe we see that responsibility that someone else holds and compare it to our own. Do we begin to think to ourselves that their job has more value for God's kingdom than our own? We begin to shift our focus onto ourselves. We begin to become servants seeking to serve ourselves rather than servants seeking to serve God's kingdom. Maybe our jealousy doesn't come out when we compare the responsibilities that we have with the responsibilities of someone else. But maybe our jealousy rears its ugly head when we see the praise that someone receives because of the work that they do. Does that shout out after the service or thank you blurb in the bulletin grind your gears? Do you start to think to yourself, the work I've done deserves more thanks than what they're receiving? And again, we've lost sight of our goal. We're starting to seek to serve our own egos instead of God's kingdom work. Jealousy. It's one of those sins we fall back into time and time again. It's one of our standards. It's as old as sin itself. We even saw Joshua fall into jealousy in our text today during his back and forth with Moses. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake?" Joshua wasn't looking to be a good spiritual teammate. In fact, he wasn't looking to have spiritual teammates at all. Flawed servants like Joshua, like you and me, we're not capable of serving God's kingdom as he demands us. Even if you turned a blind eye to our selfish attitudes, our other sinful actions would still hinder the work of God's church. Another servant is needed. A servant who doesn't focus on his own pride, but on humility. A servant who wouldn't seek to serve himself, but only to fulfill God's plan and purpose, his saving plan. Christ became that perfect servant of God for us. He displayed some of the greatest acts of humility for our sake. God becoming a humble servant. But Christ's humility serves as more than just an example for us of how we should live among our brothers and sisters. Christ's humility has eternal benefits. Christ's humility means that he took our jealousy and pride upon himself. His humility is seen in those exchanges that he made. The pride and power of God for the humble nature of a servant. But Christ's humility didn't end there. It didn't end with just taking on human flesh. Christ sealed his perfect, humble work through the greatest act of humility, taking our sin, our sins of jealousy and pride upon himself. He bore the wrath of God intended for imperfect servants like you and me. Christ's exchange of power for weakness leads to our benefit, the forgiveness of sins, a clean heart, peace with our God. With servant hearts made clean and new, our actions now as servants reflect those of Christ. We show humility when dealing with our brothers and sisters. Humility that looks like actively denying our pride. Humility that looks like setting aside our jealousy. And when those actions and when our attitudes reflect Christ's humility, we see earthly benefits too. God's church is built up as we share our talents with one another. And God's people, our fellow teammates, are encouraged in their faith as they see those things that we do that remind them of the love of Christ. Do you remember group projects? Those homework assignments where the teacher assigned you a topic and several other people to research along with? Why did your teacher assign homework in that way? Was it to make you feel frustrated or angry? It might have felt that way from time to time. If you felt that more of the work was falling on you than you deserved. But group work is assigned for other reasons. It's assigned to help build up a team, to learn how to share talents, to learn how to share responsibility. God has given us spiritual teammates for similar reasons. And those people who preach and teach the same gospel message, who believe the same gospel message as us, are our fellow teammates. God has given us spiritual teammates for our good. He has picked us out for spiritual work along with countless others. We saw him do this in an open way in our numbers lesson today. When Moses wasn't able to do all the work, God appointed 70 elders, leaders, those prophets among the people to serve alongside him. He put a visible sign of prophecy on these people to make it obvious which of them would be serving alongside Moses. Today, we don't seek out 70 elders to serve here. We aren't looking for those people who God has given an open sign of prophecy. So how do we know who those people are who are to serve God's kingdom today? How do we know who he has put his spirit on? In these days, God has put his spirit on us. We are those prophets and preachers and workers of the word. God has given us the ability to speak his word to others. And as spiritual teammates, he's given us gifts. Gifts far greater than great team chemistry or all-star players. He's given us the unity of faith and unique spiritual gifts. When we talk about spiritual gifts, it can begin to become confusing. Maybe it's hard to reflect on what gift you might have. It can be hard to reflect on this and think about how God has blessed you in this way. Maybe you have an ability to remember God's people often in your prayers. Maybe you have gifts in areas like accounting or landscaping, those skills that the church can use on a week-to-week basis. Maybe you can teach, encourage, or lead. God has given all of us spiritual gifts which we can share. But sometimes it can be difficult to understand how we can best use our gifts. Our view of the goal of unity can quickly become blurred as we start to focus on the gifts of others instead of how we might best use our gifts to serve. Maybe our issue is no longer jealousy towards the gift that someone else has. Maybe instead our issue is with how someone else uses their gifts. For example, When we fall into shambles, bickering or arguing about which type of or style of worship is best, are we seeking to serve ourselves or seeking to serve God's kingdom? Or if an issue comes up with a building project or a vision plan, if your ideas aren't used, how do you react? Do you encourage the brothers and sisters whose ideas are used? Or do you instead choose to hold a grudge because your talents weren't used in the way that you hoped they would be used? As we focus on the differences among us, we hold back the kingdom of God. Those talents that someone else has to offer for worship can become an afterthought behind our own self-seeking attitude. Those ideas and plans that they have to share for the furthering of the ministry here can become an afterthought behind our own pride. Our teammate becomes our enemy instead of our ally. Our true enemies win as we spiral down in bickering and arguing. Satan has his day as God's church is torn apart from the inside out. Sin is victorious. When we strike down a brother or sister, instead of striking out the sin in our own hearts. But God has granted us another gift. Other than those talents that he's given us, God has given us the unity of faith. Faith which we don't earn through our talents or through our doings. Faith which is given as the greatest spiritual gift. Just as God chooses what spiritual gifts to give each of us, he has also chosen who he gives his spirit to. And God has chosen us. He has chosen all of us to receive this gift of the Spirit. Because of this, our faith is not our own. It belongs to God and is a gift from him. And this faith gives us more than just something to believe in. From this gift of faith flows faith. From this gift of faith flows forgiveness, peace, and love. Love from the Father shown in the sending of his Son. Love from God shown in this gift of faith. And love among us as we reflect the love of God when we deal with one another. And when we live together in this unity of faith, when we work together as spiritual teammates, we win together as God's people. We win as we build up one another with our shared talents and gifts. We win as we fight our common spiritual enemies. We win as we build up God's church and share the responsibilities of the work that he's given us. But more than all those things, we ultimately win since we share the same saving faith. The work of God's church becomes a joy as we focus on our common eternal goal. My brothers and sisters in Christ, what would the work of God's church look like if we all worked together? It would no longer be a tug of war, pulling against ourselves with endless effort and limited results. When we all pull towards the same spiritual goals, we win as God's people. Let's continue to build up one another with our gifts that we've been given from God. Let's continue to live in the unity of saving faith that we've been given. Because with Christ, with that saving faith, we've already won. Amen.